We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in. This is Bob Arthurs once again from Merit Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast here on WMIE 91.5 FM. You also might be listening on WWBC 1510 AM. If you listen at 10:30 of a morning. So thank you for tuning in wherever and whenever you are listening to us. Want to just take a brief moment and say thank you to Advanced Christian Training Schools, 633-0432. They have a free video Bible school meeting at our campus in our fellowship hall on Tuesday nights from 6 to 9 p.m. And that's going to be continuing, I think, for a few more weeks. I don't know how much longer after that, but if you are interested in furthering your Bible education, they have some world-renowned Bible preachers and teachers that bring the Word of God, and from everything that I've heard, it's very helpful information. So come and be a part of that. Tomorrow is our vintage service, and we have our missionary from Fiji that is going to be filling in for me. I have jury duty tomorrow, and so that's going to occupy my time, but we're going to continue to go on. Last Wednesday, they showed up at church, Tim Garrison. They're back from Fiji, and he was bringing me some gifts that the students that I'd been teaching in Fiji had constructed for me. And he said, "Pastor, this is a very high honor. These gifts are normally only reserved for chiefs of the various tribes in Fiji." And it was handcrafted, a handcrafted Fijian fork, fork, and a handcrafted Fijian chief's weapon, and a corresponding stands to go with each of them, and had Pastor Bob written on it. And I was greatly honored to be thought of. They also sent me a tie that is got Mark's or Matthew 6:33 on it. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And that was a tie that represents some of the men's ministry that goes on over in Fiji. And so we've been talking, and you know, I may actually try and make a trip to Fiji here next summer or sometime in the near future. And we'll just have to see what the Lord holds in store for that. So if you are available tomorrow, the vintage service will go on. There will be prayer. There will be the ministry of the word. This last week, we had our first missionary in our vintage service, and that was very well attended. In fact, last Wednesday, I want you to know, our Wednesday services are growing faster than any other service between our combined vintage service and our children's ministry. On Wednesday night, we have what we call good problems. There are bad problems that you can have, and there are also good problems. Good problems are when you are having spatial issues and trying to find where you're going to hold your next class. We are actually to a point where we're needing to split a class in two and make that a little bit more manageable. And so you pray for us, if you would, that we would have the wisdom of God as we continue to go forward. So I want to take you in the Word of God this morning. By the way, that kids' ministry night, family night, it meets Wednesday nights at 6. We have food that we serve them from 6 until 6:30. Our classes go from 6:30 to 7:45, and you know, we have classes for girls. We currently have three classes for girls, and we've got one class for boys that we're probably getting ready to split up into two classes, or thinking about splitting into two classes, because the age range is getting a little more dramatic. We also have a youth ministry that is now functioning, up and functioning, and we're excited about all that God is doing. And that in September, we had our first one, and we had like five teenagers. Now, you got to remember, we went from basically zero teenagers to now we had five, and this last week we had considerably more than that. So we're up into double digits. So exciting things going on for Merit Assembly of God. So pray for me that I have the wisdom of God. You know, my thing is, when God is on the move, I just don't want to mess it up. And that's the thing that is very important for me. Today we're going to be talking about deliverance, and we're going to be talking about deliverance from a different aspect. You know, I hope you won't hate me after this one, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, my responsibility is to preach the full gospel, the truth, the word of God, and if people have issues with that word, then they really don't have an issue with me. They've got an issue with the God who spoke that word. This is a new covenant, a New Testament word, and so I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to try and explain it to you from the heart of God, and hopefully we will communicate this in an effective manner. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit and with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. So let's look at this. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians, you are going to find that there were some imbalances, there were some things that were out of order that were taking place in Corinth. And even though there are some also extraordinary things, some phenomenal things, some very godly things that are taking place, Paul writes to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 and 14. We get the great love chapter in chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14, also phenomenal. There's great truths in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It really is an informative book, and chapter 16 as well. So you have to understand that there's no perfect church. But there are also some things that even under grace in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit says we need to address this. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, you know, you as a church have a wrong attitude towards this thing called sexual immorality in your midst among people who are brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, such things should not even be named among you. There's a problem. It's not that Paul was saying that sexual immorality didn't happen. It did. Corinth was not a Jewish town. It was an idolatrous town. And so whenever you get that, you're going to get greed. The New Testament says that greed is idolatry. So there's sexual immorality. There was drunkenness. There was partying going on. There was extortion that was going on. All of these things were going on in that society. But what Paul says is, but when you are talking about things that are transpiring inside the body of Christ, there has to be a different standard. Where the world may gloat about those things, the body of Christ, he said, let me see if I can find it. He said, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned. When those sorts of things are manifest in the body of Christ, there needs to be a corporate mourning, not a corporate boasting. And so Paul is saying, look, the thing that is going on in your midst has made its way all the way to me. And you know, I want you to know, instead of boasting about that, you need to actually be repenting with it, and I'm going to give you the course of action that needs to take place. And so remember, this is an action of a person who identified as a brother in Christ, not somebody on the outside. Sinners will act like sinners. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them that they would receive the gift of repentance. The gift of repentance is the first and primary blessing that God bestows in a person's life. If you've got money but you don't have repentance, you're not blessed yet. You're just rich. If you have a great job but you have not repented yet, you're not blessed. You may be gifted, but you're not blessed until you have received the gift of repentance and started walking in covenant with God. So, he says, I'm going to tell you what you should do. And he proclaims this in verse number 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is declaring this with the utmost authority that he can speak with. When he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is no higher authority. There is no higher authority. And so he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I address that, I want to address something, because we had a situation where a person in our church came to me and they were asking about a business transaction that was taking place outside of the body of Christ or outside of our church. They said, I just want your opinion on this. I don't really know what you could tell me that I don't already know, but I just feel like I need to ask you about this. And said, we're dealing with this person and they're talking about that they're going to church, but there's immorality in their life. How should I approach this? And I asked them this question, and that was this: well, how long have they been in the body of Christ? You know, are they somebody who's just coming in that the Holy Spirit is still working on, or are they somebody who is boasting about their maturity in Christ, and yet they are still being deceived by this temptation of the enemy. We're going to talk about that God is wants to deliver us from temptation on a later broadcast. And the person said, wow, I just didn't think you could share anything with me that I hadn't thought of, but that's something that I really need to consider, is that the Holy Spirit is working. Listen, there needs to be more sinners at Merit Assembly of God. We welcome sinners into our midst. I tell you that I have had people who have been involved in sexual immorality, and I knew they were involved. They knew that they were involved, and we welcomed them into our services so that they could hear the life-changing Word of God. Now, they weren't welcomed into membership. They weren't invited to participate in ministry. They were welcomed to come in to hear the Word of God, for us to love them, to build relationship with them, so that they could have the possibility of repenting. Now, unfortunately, some things happened that were beyond my control, and it happened at a time. Listen, when I'm preaching, I'm looking out, and I'm trying to understand whether or not what I am saying is being received. Communication isn't happening just because I say something. Communication only happens when what I have proclaimed is actually received and applied in a person's life. And so when this person first came in, they would come, they would sit, and then whenever the word would get uncomfortable for them, they would get up, they would leave, they would walk around, and you know, sometimes they would come back and they would leave the building, and sometimes they would come back in and they would sit and they would listen for a little bit longer. But after they had been there for quite some time, no longer were they just sitting there and leaving whenever it got uncomfortable, but they were actually sitting on the edge of their seat, and they were there. Their eyes were focused on me, and they were receiving the Word of God. And then, unfortunately, something happened that it wasn't anything from somebody in our church, but something happened, and there was a change in location. But you know what happened? One day, even though they had changed geographic locations, one day they came to church, and they came before service started specifically to go up to my wife and communicate with them and thank her for the expression of love and relationship that she had used to build or that she had built with that person. They were actually so thankful for the seeds of the Word of God that she had sown into their life. And so I want you to know, our churches should be a place where the people of the world, and this is what Paul says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexual immoral people, but yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with this covetous or extortioners or idolatrous, since then you would need to go out of the world. By the way, this week, our prayer focus, some of you have let us know that you are participating with us. This week, our prayer focus is, God, provide a divine connection, an open door, so that strategy that you have birthed in my spirit for sharing the gospel with that person we've been praying for this month, that we would have opportunity to minister to them, to spend time with them, and see where God leads that conversation. You never know how people are going to respond until you reach out to them and you have that conversation. So this week, pray that God will provide that divine connection and that open door where you can communicate the love of Jesus the same way that Jesus did with the woman at the well. So listen, at Merit Assembly of God, drug addicts are welcome. Alcoholics are welcome. Immoral people are welcome. There's been people who said, well, what about, what about this segment of society? And it's like, look, as long as they are here to receive the word of God, everybody is welcome. The Assemblies of God believes that the human right is that every person on the planet have the right to accept or to hear a presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and have the opportunity to repent. So let's go back to that passage we read in verses 4 and 5. And he said, when you are gathered together along with my spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. When you and I come together in a spirit of unity, in a spirit of holiness, I want you to know that there is power. There's a scripture that says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal on that day. And so here there needs to be now, when we're talking about dealing with this, remember you are dealing with a person in gentleness, because the goal is not punitive. The goal is restoration. We are here, our mission statement is restoring value spiritually and relationally. Sin devalues a person. Holiness values a person. And he says, so when you are come together and there's spiritual unity and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is present, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, what I want you to understand is that the goal here is that person's salvation. If immorality was okay inside the body of Christ, would the Holy Spirit have Paul put this in there saying that if you don't do this, if you do not conduct yourselves in this manner, that person's eternity is at stake? I'm telling you, in the book of Revelation, he begins to write to churches and he says, you know what? I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel who teaches my church to practice immorality. There was a lot of other religions in the world and immorality was rampant in all of them. My wife and I were having a conversation not too long ago about a region of the world, and there were some things that came up on the television screen, and I said, I want you to realize that the focus of the religions of that region is immorality. That's really the focus of it. The thing about Christianity is that it is about holiness, not immorality. There's a big difference. It's not about what we can do to gratify our flesh, but what can we do to please God? And so he said, with this goal of spiritual salvation in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you need to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, so I'm going to try and deal with this as best as I can. And I want you to know that this is specifically being written to people who, in verse number 11, it says, but now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is practicing these various sins, not even to eat with such a person. And so what Paul is writing to them about is, he said, what I need you to do is I need you to commit that person beyond the control of your hands and put them into the control of my hands. You see, Satan will always use sin to bring about destruction. But when we have committed, when we have delivered a person out of our hands, that when the postman or the UPS driver or the FedEx ground driver, when they put a package in my hands, they make me sign this little device, electronic signature, and it indicates to the office that that package has been delivered out of the delivery man's hand and it has been placed into my hand. And so what Jesus is so concerned about people's salvation, that we need to say, God, here we are, and we want to deliver this person out of our hands. There are people that in the body of Christ, this may sound harsh, but we circumvent the plan of God in bringing these people to holiness because we can't take our hands off of the situation. Now, I'm going to tell you that in my life I have prayed some dangerous prayers. There's a couple of dangerous prayers, and I'll tell you about them. The first dangerous prayer is, if you ever pray, God, make me holy, God's going to take you serious, and he is going to bring about things out of your life that is going to bring all of the unholiness to the surface so that you can get it out, so that you can repent, so that it'll be dealt with once and for all. Another one is this: if you pray, God, give me patience, what we think we're praying when we pray that is, okay, God, I want situations that are not going to cause me to lose it. In actuality, what happens is the patience is a fruit of the Spirit. So the more time we spend with God, the more patience we are going to naturally manifest in situations that used to cause impatience to manifest. So I prayed this prayer out of great love, and I said this: God, whatever you need to do to bring these people to salvation, do it. And I call that a dangerous prayer, because when we put people's salvation in the hands of God and we say, God, I'm not going to circumvent your process, then he begins to operate. And what happens is many times people have to come to the end of themselves before they are ready to encounter the beginning of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I can share with you good news, 2 Corinthians begins to address that the church made a transition. No longer was sexual immorality going to be tolerated among the people of faith. Did you know that the Bible says that things like this should not even be named in the body of Christ? It should be the farthest thing. God help us when there is so much that the world hears about the sin that is in the world. Let's deliver any situation that is displeasing in God's sight. Say, God, have your way in that. Father, right now, we just commit into your hands the love and the compassion that you have. God, you want people to be saved. God, do whatever is necessary to bring our church, our community, and our families to Jesus Christ. See you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."